Good morning.
Good morning.
You want to wake today? If not, you're going to be awake shortly. Welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. Be sure to fill out your Connect cards. You find them in your bulletins this morning. Just drop those in the offering plate this morning as well. That would be great. Just a few quick announcements. Next Saturday, United Methodist Men are having their garage sale. So if you have any items, I don't know how we're going to get them picked up this week with Michael being gone now. But let the church office know if you have items or if you're able to drop them off here at the church. That would be great. But next Saturday from 8 to 1, and we need some help from the men, so all hands on deck for next Saturday. We usually get here about 6:30, 7 o'clock. We'll start pulling things out of the garage, and then the sale actually starts at 8. But as we know, people like to show up early. So if you can come out and help with that next week, that would be awesome, because we certainly need some help. Some of our old regulars now are not around anymore, so we certainly could use your help as well. Faith and Family Night is next Sunday afternoon. That's a baseball game up in Roger Lee Stadium. It's called David, his lifelong dream is to play the organ at a baseball game. Wow. Okay, next Sunday. That's perfect. Thank you very much. Oh, I just made my day. All right. If you'd like to go to the baseball game, and not really. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. I think I have 6 tickets left, so I hope some men can go to that, but it looks like right now it's Kenny and I, so I need some men to go and be there with Kenny and I, so it's not all women. But if you're a woman who would like to go, we will certainly take you. So be sure and sign up at the back. We'll settle up on the tickets and everything the day of the game. We're going to leave the church at 4 o'clock. The game starts at 5:05, so if you'd like to go to that, be sure to put your name on the list, or I can't hold a ticket for you today. So if you need to call the office Monday or Tuesday as well, you can do that. But don't wait too long, because I believe I only have 6 tickets left. So be sure to join us for that. We're going to have a great time, and it'll be a great day next Sunday for that. A reminder, if you see in your bulletin, I believe there's a full page sheet this morning on the Father's Day dinner. It's going to be a cowboy theme, I believe. Right? I got to find my cowboy hat. So come out for that on June 18th at 5 p.m. There's all the information is in your bulletin for that. There's folks selling tickets, so be sure to get your tickets so we know how much food to prepare for that as well. VBS is coming up. Right, Robin? They started on the sets and everything that we have here. We're going to completely transform this like we do every year. Surf's up. We've got a surf theme this year. You certainly could use your help. So fill that out and drop that in the offering plate as well so we can get a handle on who's going to be coming out to help us this year as well. Just a reminder for those of you that serve on Leadership Council, our meeting is this Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the library, June 8th, so be sure to mark your calendars for that as well. We will be meeting, 4 of us from the Leadership Council are going to be meeting with our district's Congregational Vitality Team. And basically what that is, we're trying to get churches within the Atlantic Central District to be able to be more in touch with one another and share ministry and find out what works for our churches and what don't work. So keep us in prayer on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. We're going to be meeting in the library to find out if there's things we can do that may help our church, or ideas and things that we do that can help other churches. So those of you that have signed up for that, you know who you are, and I'll be getting in touch with you before Tuesday as well. So, but anyway, just keep that in prayer. We're trying to strengthen and build our churches in the Atlantic Central District. So I hope you can keep that in prayer as well. I'm ready to celebrate today. Are you?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Rain and mine is the Lord.
care of the orphan and the widow, the downfall of the haughty and the proud. Lift us up and dry our tears when breath leaves the body of those we love. Train our eyes to see hope and new life all around us, so that we may walk in faith as followers of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
And then he says, make me a loaf of bread.
Now, she was just outside gathering up some sticks to cook with and to make her last loaf of bread, and her thought was, I'm going to eat this last loaf of bread, and all my food will be gone, and my son and I will just die. She had lost hope. It's not good to lose hope, is it? So she was all set to eat her last loaf of bread and die. So Elijah comes and gets a glass of water and then says, go make me a loaf of bread. So what does that mean? Now she doesn't even have her last loaf of bread. She's going to cook it for the stranger and give it to him. So she's going to die now before she even gets to eat her last loaf of bread, isn't she? She thinks. Because she has the hope that she's given up. But Elijah said, God told me that if you make that loaf of bread for me, you will never run out of flour and oil again. What do you think we would do if someone told that to us? That sounds like a sales pitch, doesn't it? To get your last bit of food and then you didn't really care if she lived or died, right? But she said, okay, I will go in the house and make a loaf of bread for you. She didn't say, well, after my son and I eat, we'll give you what's left over. She trusted in God to say, I'm going to do what Elijah said, because he was a man of God, and through conversation she realized he was a man of God and he wasn't lying to her. So she went in the house, she baked a loaf of bread, came out and gave it to them. They eat, and for the rest of that duration, and they think it's maybe 2 years, her flour and oil never ran out. She keep going back in the bag of flour and dip her cup in there, and there'd only be flour in there. But God keeps his promises, right? Now, I often wonder, why did God give them steak? And why didn't he give them some chickens? Why didn't he give them a lot of different kinds of food to eat? Because he said he would take care of them. And when he took care of them, it meant the flour and the oil would sustain them. When the drought went away and the rains came and everything got prosperous, they were just fine. But during that time, they trusted God and they took what God gave them and they made it. So that's our lesson for today. I told this to the men's group yesterday, and I told them they didn't have to come to church today because they already heard the message. So you all now have heard the message, so if you want to leave and go before communion, you can certainly do that. So what my point is, we've got to trust God for more, right? And when we trust God and he makes promises and says he'll take care of us, it's in the way God wants to take care of us. It may not be the way we want God to take care of us, but he will always take care of us. Does that make sense? So from this point forward, you're going to trust in God, friend. And he will give you what you need. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for the widow's faith and trust in you, and for Elijah being obedient. What this story tells us is about obedience, a word that we don't really like, but a word that we have to live by as children of God. We ask a blessing upon us to these young people, a blessing for the promises you've given them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. All about obedience and trust, right? Cool. Accept at times, isn't it? I think if I had eaten bread for 2 years every day, the oil that was provided for cooking, I'd get tired of bread, wouldn't you? But we, what?
Jesus is the bread of life.
Wow. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Thanks, Danny. Well, with that mindset, trusting God, it's time for us to go to the Lord in prayer today. And we have a list of folks here that can sure use our prayers and for God's intercession in their lives for healing. And I know you bring things with you this morning as well. So keep these names in your hearts this week, as well as the list in your bulletin and the email list as it comes out tomorrow as well. Be in prayer for these folks, because prayer works. You know, last week I told you that God woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me you need to tell people to pray. So I'm still going with the same message. So keep keep these folks in your prayers this week. Ellen Miller, she fell and fractured a hip. She is in Coral Bay in rehabilitation, so we lift her up today. Ken Chanel, a tireless worker, he's had some problems with an infection. We continue to lift Ken up, and it's good to see him out and about. And I know he's still suffering with the infection, so keep Ken in your prayers. Bev Knapp, I talked to her this week. She still has some issues with her stomach and gastro issues, so keep her in your prayers. Marty Hartman as well is still struggling to recover from his surgery that he had when he was here. So just continue to pray for Marty as well. Tom Harden has a bad cold. The cold bug is going around. Let's keep Tom in our prayers. Nancy Geddes lifts up her daughter Lynn, who is sick with a viral infection. So keep Lynn in your prayers. Gene Crawford as well, son Bob, even though they had the baby, that his life of his health insurance coverage is completed, and they can take care of the new baby. And baby Riley is home and improved daily. And thanks for all your prayers. The team is lifting them up today. Baby Riley is growing and flourishing. Lifting up the Snyder family this morning. God's provision for their family. Teresa Atlas this morning lifts up her friend Angela, whose brother passed away this morning. So Angela's brother and her family as well. Gary Simmons is going to be going away next week, and he's just praising God for this opportunity to go up and have a vacation with his family. He didn't think it was going to be able to happen, but he's giving praise that God has provided the time for him and his family to go up to Tennessee. And Gary, have a good time. I miss you while you're gone, but you need the time away. So keep Gary and his family in your prayers. Like I said, there's many things you bring this morning. Let's now take them before the cross. Gracious and loving God, we are just awestruck this morning. Father, the message from Elijah today, talking about our faith, and how small our faith can seem, but how big your provision is for us. Father, today we come before you with a long list of folks that are suffering ill health and injury and sickness. Father, that list never gets smaller, it seems, from week to week. And Father, it's new people and different people each week that struggle with health issues, major health concerns in their lives. But Father, today we're coming to you with faith and trust and hope that your will is done in each one of these cases. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful to you for a loving Son who came and gave himself freely for us. Father, today we're grateful for new life, for the babies that are in church today. Father, we are grateful that you have blessed us to have them in our midst. Father, new life is what you speak of. New life and hope for tomorrow. Our world can seem hopeless and out of control, but this new life guarantees the next generation to address the issues of their day, to address the issues that have been before us since the beginning of time. Father, they don't go away. But I pray this next generation can do even more than we've done. That they can bring about change in the world. That they can bring about love. We speak of love all the time. And are so poor at implementing it. Father, I pray this next generation can lead us. That these young children, these babies of today, will be leaders that can change the world. So, Father, today we pray out of gratitude. We pray that you have given us what we need and not necessarily what we want. But, Father, each one of us that sit here today can affirm that we have been provided for to allow us to live in the week of new day. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon us today. Our world can seem turned upside down and crazy and out of control. But Father, we have given that control over to you. So Father, we just pray that we can be the people, the children of God, to lead this generation, to lead the next leaders in our churches. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the ministry and mission of Lakeside. Thank you for the United Methodist Church throughout the world. Father, we are truly trying to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And for that, we are grateful. We pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ. may be seated.
The widow went and did what Elijah said.
So the widow, Elijah, and the widow's household ate for many days. The jar of flour didn't decrease, nor did the bottle of oil run out, just as the Lord spoke through Elijah. After these things, the son of the widow, who was the matriarch of the household, became ill. His sickness got steadily worse until he wasn't breathing anymore. She said to Elijah, "What's gone wrong between us, man of God? Have you come to me to call attention to my sin and kill my son?" Elijah replied, "Give your son to me." He took her son from her and carried him to the upper room where he was staying. Elijah laid him on his bed. Elijah cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, why is it that you have brought such evil upon the widow that I am staying with by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself over the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, please give this boy's life back to him." The Lord listened to Elijah's voice and gave the boy his life back, and he lived. Elijah brought the boy down from the upper room of the house and gave him to his mother. Elijah said, "Look, your son is alive. Now I know that you really are a man of God," the woman said to Elijah. "And that the Lord's word is truly in your mouth." The Lord had a blessing for the reading of his word. Let's pray. Awesome God, thank you for this story that has moments of no hope. Through this story, great hope appears. So Father, be with us. Supply us with that hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Today it's about a widow who had trust and faith in God, but at this point, after so long in her life, she said, "What's the use? I'm giving up. I trust God, but you know what? God must be finished with me. I'll eat my last bit of bread with my son, and I will die." That can sound pretty hopeless, can it? Now, there is true faith at every turn in this story. A little earlier in our story, to fully appreciate what's going on, we've got to backtrack. What's happened to put Elijah alongside the stream? The people of Israel were being disobedient again, weren't they? Elijah cried out to God, "Bring about drought to get their attention." And God did. Poor Elijah wanders down by the stream and sits there. He's fed by the ravens. The ravens come and drop off food. Like I spoke to with the children, it couldn't have been the best food. They probably didn't fly by Wendy's and get a takeout bag and bring it and drop it by Elijah's feet. They brought about carrion, dead food, dead animals. But it sustained it. God provided, didn't he? Now you may say, "Well, God, I don't necessarily need you to provide for me like that." But God provided. So as we look into this story, it's a story about poverty, isn't it? Do we see poverty outside our doors here at this church? Absolutely. I see folks coming by this church day in and day out that are suffering in poverty. Drought and famine were the least of her problems. Her husband had died. She had no means of support. She scrounged around for something to eat day by day. And all these things worked together in her day-to-day struggle just to survive. Many of you have struggled to survive, right? Anybody here ever struggled to survive in the world? Absolutely. But the fact that you're sitting here today means you've survived it. You may be in the midst of a drought today as you sit here, but you're still sitting here. I see people almost every day that have no hope, that are hopeless. I speak with widows, with children. They come here with hope that we can help them. I'm sure they show up at the food pantry. They show up at Matthew Meals.
They know where to go to find hope and help. So we see the widow's poverty. We've seen Elijah's poverty. He's being fed by birds, living by a creek, drinking from a creek, and what happens? What happens in this story? God said, I'll give you some water, and then what happened to the water?
It dried up!
Is God still providing? What God did was, get off your sorry butt and walk over here to this other town. There's someone over there in worse shape than you, and you're going to get together and have all you need. Does that make sense? When Elijah walks up and sees the widow gathering up sticks, I'm sure for her last fire, to bake her bread, knowing that this is it, and then we're going to die. Boy, there's cheer there. She didn't seem very cheery, did she? Or did she? Actually, if you read between the lines, she seemed to have at least come to grips with her situation. But when Elijah spoke to her, she knew it sounded like something from God, right? We hear it in this scripture. We hear that when Elijah told her, don't worry, be happy. You know, Elijah must have been better at that than me. I tell people that all the time. Don't worry, be happy, it'll be fine. You know what I give? Yeah, sure. It's not you, it's me. A lot easier for you to be happy than it is me in my situation. And this widow could have done that. When Elijah spoke to her, she knew it was from God. She believed in God. When Elijah said God had sent him there, she believed it. Now that sounds like a, who am I going to pick on today? Used car salesman, lawyers, door-to-door encyclopedia salesman, vacuum cleaner salesman, knock on your door. Do they ever knock on your door anymore? No. I haven't had a vacuum. We need a vacuum cleaner, and I'm wondering where the salesman is. Of course, I don't want a $900 vacuum. We've got a $79 vacuum cleaner. But this could have been a line to this lady. But she knew when Elijah spoke that it was coming from God. The words out of his mouth were from God. As your pastor, when I get up here and speak to you, does it seem like these words are from God? Do you hear like this? That the way you're affirming me. Nobody did that. Okay? Why didn't God send Elijah to a wealthy home? Why did he? Wouldn't have made any sense to send him to a wealthy home, would it? There had been no miracle in that, would there? They had plenty of food, plenty of wine, I'm sure, and water to drink. If God would have sent Elijah to a wealthy home, the miracle would not have been there. But Elijah trusted God. And do you think when God said, Elijah, go over there and find this widow. Now, he knew what a widow's status was in those days. They were down, they were the poorest of the poor. The husband wasn't in the picture. He had passed away, and now she was on her own trying to feed a son. It could have been despair in the widow. She believed that God lives. But mere belief is not all that's required, is it? Remember my message with the kids? Obedience. Elijah and the widow had to show some signs of obedience to God, didn't they? Now the story is. Now the plot thickens. Are we obedient children today? You know, sometimes I meet with people and they're like, why isn't God doing this for me? Because you're not being obedient to God. That's why. You know, I can't say that, but you know how many times I want to say that?
Man, well, God won't do nothing for me.
Yeah, what have you done for God lately? You think this is a one-way street? You think all you have to do is say, oh God, I'm suffering. Please deliver me. Please, God, don't make me do anything to get your blessing. The widow had to do something. Elijah had to do something. There was something involved more than just asking for help, right? Well, if a homeless person came to the church door over there and knocked on the door and said, please help me, I'm hungry. And I opened the door and said, get a job. I hear that all the time with the one standing in the median down there. People drive by there and say, get a job. Do something to help yourself. Is that fair? Sometimes it seems fair to me. It's not really fair. God asks for our obedience in many different ways. Do you agree with that? What does God expect from us? I did a message on that one time. What's expected of us? Just show up and sit here and eat a few potatoes and I'll fertilize you a little bit, pour a little water on you and everything will be fine. If you're not receiving the blessings you believe you receive from God, there's probably a little more you need to do. I'll be glad to throw water on you though. I'm good at throwing water on people. If God hasn't delivered what He's promised, there's probably something more for you to do. Now, how do we figure that out? What's up with that? In God's perfect timing, He brought two people together. Elijah needed food. The widow needed food. But more importantly, she needed what? Oh, come on.
Hope.
Why are you? Who said hope? Give her a gold star.
Thank you.
She just needed some hope. Elijah shows up and gives her hope. He says, trust me on this. God came to me and whispered in my ear and said, we're going to be fine if you do this. The amazing part of this is she actually did it. Isn't it? She actually did it. She had the faith, but she didn't have the hope. I bet you she had been praying for quite some time, God, please deliver me. Deliver me from this. In the beginning, I'm sure she didn't want to die. In the end, she said, God, please let me die. And God answers her prayers by doing what? Sending someone to her to take her last bite of food. Now that's a giving God. Man, that's the kind of God I want to serve. It's hopeless. I have one little loaf of bread left, and God sends a guy over here to get my last loaf of bread. Yippee! I love God, don't you? I do love God because their flour and oil never ran out from that point forward, did it? Never ran out. They had more than enough until the drought was over and the famine was broken. So maybe God's pretty good after all. Like I said, though, I would sure like a nice, you know what I like from Outback Steakhouse? Yeah. I love Bloomin' Onion for one. They are good. Now, if God would show up with a Bloomin' Onion, I'd get sick of it. No, I love bread, so I'd probably do okay on this bread and water diet. If it's good bread. Like that bread you get at Outback. That little loaf of bread is so good. Sorry, honey. I'll put you through this point. That's bad that you can hear your wife all the way from back there. Gary, turn those mics off, please. God's timing is perfect. Two people in need, they show up to deplete the other one's wealth. That's going to work, isn't it? That's a perfect plan. That's what I would have thought of. Where did God come up with this kind of stuff? Two people that have nothing get together and have everything they need. Everything they want, no. Everything they need, yes. She didn't need food as much as she needed hope. But with her hope came food. Do you believe that this morning? Anyone out there speak English?
See?
See? Anyone home? Folks, if we have nothing else, we've got to have hope.
Amen.
Like I said, I meet hopeless people. Sometimes this whole God thing to me, I'm telling you things, and I'm like, wow, would I even believe this if it was me? And I guarantee you, if you would have spoke to either of the two people in this story, there was hope. God demonstrated the hope that they sought. She trusted and her worry was gone. So often we want God to give us more than He promised us. He gives us what is promised, but nothing more, nothing less. That's when I pray, God, I can use a little more here. But the promise was conditional on the widow's response. If she would have said, no, I'm going to make some bread, my son and I will eat our fill, and then we'll give you the leftovers. What would have happened then to her? For one, hope. Because I don't think God would have answered it and been in her situation the way He was, would He? She had to be obedient. So I stand before you today as your pastor, telling you to be obedient. Be good kids. Do the hard thing. God wants us to trust Him completely. In our tithe, do we give from what's left over, or do we give from our first fruits? We give from what's at the top of the cup and not the bottom. When we serve others, when God calls us to reach out to others, do we give them our best time or when we have some spare time? See, this whole obedience thing is now making me a little nervous. Do we answer God's call in our life with the best of what we have? The widow did the best and the last of what she had, she gave to God. God certainly has given us His best, Penny.
Amen.
Do we give to God out of our first fruits, out of our best time? I think that's where God starts looking a little deeper into our souls and saying, I've asked Lakeside United Methodist Church to be obedient, to do what I've called them to do. But you know what? They're just scraping below the surface a little bit. At the end of the month, they're giving what's left over. How many have a lot left over at the end of the month? The first of the month, the account's a little fuller, isn't it? I'm not talking about strictly your money. But on Monday, do you have more energy than you do on Friday if you're working? I'm going to wait until Friday night or Saturday, when that's my day of rest, or Sunday, and give them what I can with what I have left. Or do you get up on Monday morning saying, I'm fresh, I'm refreshed, I'm full of the most energy I'm going to have this week. Let's see what we can do for God. I just had a thought. Maybe we ought to do more ministry on Mondays. Folks, all we're asked to be is obedient. We feel like we can't go on. God has forgotten us. Life is crushing down around us. Give God all you've got. What He has given you, give back from your first fruits. Trust me, when you do this, there's more than enough left for you. Those of you that have the stewardship, you're living out your stewardship in your life. Living out the tithe, I bet you could say to a person that you're being blessed more than you were before. I know we can. We can. And I want to tell you to do something that Nancy and I are silent about doing. Your blessings will be abundant. That's the message today. Be encouraged. When God's on our side, who can be against us? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious God, what an awesome, awesome God you are. When you can bring two people together that have nothing and provide, maybe not super abundantly, if you promise, you will provide, and you do. Father, we give you thanks for this message today. Let us live this example in our own lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the widow provided for Elijah, Jesus Christ provided for us as well. This is a story you all know very well. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he came and he sat down with his friends. And he prepared to bless them like never before. He promised to provide for them. We get the pleasure and the honor and the commitment of God this morning by partaking of this holy sacrament of Holy Communion. Prepare your hearts now and receive this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me. Merciful God, we confess
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand.
On that night in which Jesus Christ gave himself up for us, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this each time that you take it." Likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and he raised it to his Father in heaven and said, "Bless this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for you and for many. Do this each time you drink it. Remember that Jesus Christ is our Savior. The new covenant has been created and fulfilled."
And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these offers of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast in his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Those helping with communion this morning, please come forward. In the United Methodist Church, we celebrate an open communion table. All are welcome that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So all that are here today are welcome at the table of Jesus. It's not our table, it's the table of Christ.
Let's pray. Eternal Father, thank you for the gift of this bread and this cup. Father, we receive these elements this morning, grasping, searching, longing for hope. Father, I pray that these elements have created new life within us. Father, thank you for the blessing of your Son. Thank you for being a God that loves us enough to provide for us. Father, we love you. We give you the thanksgiving and praise. So Jesus, the Holy Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn. God be with you till we meet again.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
receive this benediction. Father God, as we leave this place, let us leave with renewed hope. Father, be with us now as we go out into the world. Let us be the light that shines your light. We love you and give you the praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.